This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in their stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Welcome into the Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Connor Sutton, here on a Saturday morning. Thank you guys for joining us. Joined by co-host today, Bryce Ritchie, and of course, as always, the always lovable producer, Jared King. Thanks for joining us today, Bryce.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A lot of good stuff to get to on the show today. Next segment, we'll have some Simpson University softball players. Sidney Moorhead and Madison Wright will be on. We'll be talking to them about their season success thus far, and they have a championship game coming up on Sunday where they look to advance to the opening round of the national tournament. In the third segment, we'll have what makes a bad fan base, what makes a good fan base. Bryce, you and I were talking about this yesterday. And then also in the final segment, we'll have a brand new segment. It will be called 30-Second Takes. And that's exactly what it sounds like. So I want to begin with this today. My favorite commercial out right now is that new Geico commercial where everybody talks about different things that their dad does. And they're turning into their dad. You see, they scan by and they have socks with sandals, which is a classic dad thing. They don't have a visor, shockingly, but you'd think they would. Mm-hmm. They talk about how one person says, I was telling my team that defense wins championships. And that someone else says, well, it's because it does. And I want to go start in on that today. Because we always hear defense wins champions. Defense wins championships. Defense wins championships. But they do to a certain extent. This year, the Philadelphia Eagles had a wonderful defense, got them to the Super Bowl, but what happened in the Super Bowl? It was a shootout. So here's my point I want to make here today. Is that, yes, defense may get you to the championship game, get you to the Super Bowl, get you to the finals, but what wins you that game? Because a lot of times championship games, whether it's the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, that Game 6, Game 7, the Super Bowl game, that one game that matters, it comes down to a few plays. And what is key on those plays is having a superstar who you are confident with and being clutch down the stretch. That's why Michael Jordan is noted as the greatest of all time, the GOAT. 6 for 6 in the NBA Finals, and he hit a number of clutch shots down the stretch. Yes, the Bulls were a great defensive team, but they also had probably the clutchest scorer of all time. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. Same thing with LeBron James. Same thing with Tom Brady. Same thing with Peyton Manning. So, yes, defense is important, obviously. In every sport it is. But let's not forget what really wins you titles. What really gets you that ring on your finger. I don't care how good of a coach you are. You need a superstar. Now, there's been situations where teams have won without a superstar. And I'm not saying that every situation has to have a superstar, but somebody needs to step up and fill that superstar role in order to win a championship.
Yeah, I think that overall defense is going to carry you way more than a clutch performance. And you're right, you don't have to have a superstar, but you need to have a superstar performance from somebody.
Yeah.
Happened in the NCAA tournament this year. No-name guy came out of nowhere and just played lights out.
Yeah. My problem with everybody so... Another thing is like nobody really wants to talk about defense. We all love offense.
Scoring.
We love scoring. Exactly. We love clutch plays. When somebody gets a defensive stop to win a game, we're kind of just... We're on the edge of our seat and somebody misses a shot or an incomplete pass or a ground out instead of a single or a home run, we kind of just sigh because that wasn't how we wanted things to end.
I think it depends on the defensive stop. I would say LeBron's block in the 2016 finals is,
right. That's
is different.
But my point is that that's a superstar play.
Yeah, it is, but it's also a defensive stop. I think defense can be exciting. You're right. Offense, like when the Warriors go from up 2 to up 20 in under 2 minutes, that's the kind of stuff you want to watch.
The Warriors have this ability, and every time I watch them, I always say you need to get up 10 to 15 by the time you hit the third quarter if you want to beat them. And it's because in that third, maybe even sometimes in the second quarter, they go on these unbelievable runs where it's just they're like there's nothing you can do. Because they have so many scorers, they defend so well, they can turn a game around on you so fast.
Yeah, but it's on both sides of the floor. They are a fantastic defensive team. They turn defensive possessions into really quick offensive points. You know, they're great in transition, both at the basket and at the three-point line. They don't even need to get all the way down the floor to make you pay for it.
I am very interested in the fact that, you know, as a coach, you kind of preach defense. You kind of have to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't preach defense, guess what? People aren't going to play very hard on defense. I grew up with constant defense being pushed into my ear. But guess what? What was I thinking, really? I want to get on the
score.
Offensive end.
Yeah.
Not necessarily score, but I want to, I mean, I guess score or have an assist. Or it doesn't matter what sport you're playing, get a hit.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. Except for in baseball, because I couldn't hit. So, therefore, I liked playing defense. Higher percentages. Anyway, but I'm excited, actually, to bring up my an at-bat that happened earlier this week, and we'll bring that up next segment. But, it's just, my point is in all this is that when you get to a championship game, when you get to that title game, a superstar performance is going to take you to the next level. And yes, having good defense is important, and it'll keep you in the game, but you still need somebody to step up and have that clutch performance. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. If the Bulls didn't have Michael Jordan, if the Cavs didn't have LeBron James, if the Lakers didn't have Kobe Bryant, it wouldn't have mattered.
To a certain extent. I mean, you'd have someone else filling those roles. But
they wouldn't have filled it nearly as well as those three guys.
The games would have been drastically different. They would have ran a different way. We don't know. Coming down the stretch, you're right. Jordan wouldn't. There wouldn't have been the opportunity for the same shots to be taken and that kind of thing. And I think something that we don't look at is defense. You're right. It isn't glorifying. It isn't gratifying. It's the nitty gritty. It's hard work. But what superstars do is they elevate their teammates. They make players want to go all out on the defensive end, which in turn I think demoralizes a team more than getting beat offensively. If people are scoring a lot of points on you, that's on them. But if you can't score, it takes the morale right out of a team.
How many times do you go into a gym and you see a guy shooting compared to how many times do you go into a gym? This is basketball, obviously related.
Yeah.
How many times do you go to a gym do you see a guy working on defensive drills? Closeouts, defensive slides. I mean, I've never seen it. Especially at like the Y or young kids. Everybody wants to do things on offense because offense is flashy. Offense is fun.
I think defense requires more than one person. You know,
you can still work on individual defensive plays. Like I said, closeouts. If you blow a closeout on a shooter, that shot's going up, it's probably going to go in.
Closeout's far less complicated than, you know, a series of crossovers or getting to the hoop through three defenders. So, yeah, you're right. You're far less likely to see. I'm with you. I don't know I've ever seen anyone. I've seen guys doing wall sits, you know. And obviously, I think a lot of defensive work happens in the weight room, you know.
Yeah.
You have to,
and foot speed. A lot of foot speed comes into place, too.
Yeah.
Especially in basketball and football. Obviously, baseball, you do see a lot of defensive plays, especially because, and we'll talk about that with the Simpson softball players coming up next segment, is you have to work on, you know, bunt defenses and first and thirds and things like that.
Just fielding the ball. But that requires more than one person.
All right. Yes, so that's my point. Defense we may say they win championships, but superstars truly put rings on fingers. All right. Coming up next, we'll have Simpson University softball players Sydney Moorhead and Madison Wright joining us. This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Home. There's no place like it, where you create day-to-day memories with your family and good times with your friends. Palomar Builders invites you to experience Highland Park. Highland Park in East Reading. Homes built with green technology, meaning your Palomar home will be very energy efficient. Featuring radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency quick recovery gas water heaters, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and shower heads, and programmable irrigation systems. Distinctive interior and exterior features, and designer kitchens. This environmentally sensitive master plan community features a number of stream corridors and mature trees, full front yard landscaping with automatic irrigation systems, in your kitchen granite slab countertops, recessed LED lighting, some plans with stylish islands and walk-in pantries. Come see our new model home at 484 Belvedere. It's now open daily except Wednesdays. It's a four bedroom, two and a half bath at 559-8. Contact Debbie Morgan of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Segment two here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm joined now by two very, very good Simpson softball players, Sydney Moorhead and Madison Wright. As they are midway through their CalPAC Conference Tournament, will play Sunday at noon against La Sierra for the conference championship. If they win that game, they will advance to the opening round of the national tournament. If they lose, they'll play again at 2:30. So if you have a chance tomorrow, come out and check out that game at noon out at Simpson University. All right, I'm going to start with Sydney here on my first question. Thank you guys for being on the show, by the way. I appreciate it. Sydney, obviously you are a freshman, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at what point in this season do you think, did you realize the difference in talent between high school and here at the college level?
I think it's when we played against Chico. They're a really good team, and it's definitely a difference pitching to them than it was to high school students.
Did you have to have a different approach on the mound when you were throwing to better batters?
I definitely needed to work the corners more because they will hit anything close to the middle of the plate.
So, Maddie, this is you're a junior. This is your third year. You were a second-team All-American last year, which is only the second time anyone's ever done that for Simpson. You've been a part of some special teams. Do you have a different role this year now that you're an upperclassman and there's so much young players on this team? Do you have a different role?
Yeah, I think I really do this year. We really only have two upperclassmen that have been here since freshman year, and I'm one of those. So I think being an upperclassman kind of gives me the experience to have some leadership on the field, and I think that's mostly been my role this year.
You've also jumped around and played a number of different positions this year. You play a little bit of center field, second base. Are you more comfortable at second base?
Yeah, I am, because I've played there the last 2 years, mm-hmm. but really I'll go anywhere a coach wants to put me.
What did you play in high school?
I played second base and outfield.
So you're most comfortable at second base. Why is that? Just because you play there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you lead off typically for the Redhawks. Do you have, is there, from your first at-bat, do you have a different approach in your first at-bat compared to future at-bats because you kind of want to see what the pitcher has?
Yeah, I kind of have a different approach than most people would take because the first at-bat, I know a lot of times the pitcher will throw the ball right down the middle just to get a strike.
Yeah.
The first pitch of the game. So I'm really aggressive on that pitch, and I like to take a big swing at it.
Sydney, as a pitcher, do you have a typical pregame protocol, something you do to get yourself psyched up and ready to go before the game starts?
Usually in the bullpen, my catcher, Kayla, always, like, hypes me up, and she tells me, like, we got this, this is our game, and we, me and her, just, like, hype each other up, and I tell myself, like, I can do this, and I'm good enough, I can do this.
Before the first game on Thursday was the opening game of the conference tournament, the first playoff game you played in, were there any nerves before that game?
Yeah, I was really nervous.
You stepped up?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you'll be starting tomorrow as well. And then let's talk about moving forward, you know, past the conference tournament, because things get a little interesting. Obviously, if you guys win the conference tournament, you move on to the opening round. You've done this a couple of times, hosted your freshman year, I believe, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And then last year went to Oklahoma City and faced mm-hmm. the number one team in the country. So once you get to that opening round level, the talent increases. There's Southern Oregon is a team that is hosting. I know you guys played them earlier this year. So early in the year, you guys had a really tough non-conference schedule. And because you were such a young team, some of those games maybe didn't go the way you wanted to. How has this team grown? I'll start with you, Maddie. How has this team grown from day one, opening day, to now in the conference tournament?
Oh, we've grown a lot. We've been through a lot this year on the field and off the field. And I think that kind of brought us together. And in the beginning, we were struggling a little bit because we were getting in tune with each other still. And getting used to new positions. Like, we have a lot of freshman starters.
Yeah.
Sydney, one of them. Yeah, most of the players on our team that are new are starting. So it was a struggle to get used to positions and get used to how each other plays.
Were you impressed with how well the freshmen have stepped up this year? Because yeah. that is a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really did. I think at the beginning of the season, not only did we have freshman starters, but we had coach moving players all the way around, like all positions. Like, I was in center field. And I think it's kind of almost like coach hit shuffle on the positions. And
right.
was just like, okay, you're going to go here today. So it was a struggle to get used to that.
Has this team felt different than teams in years past?
Yeah, for sure. Especially having such a young team. I won't say too much, but we did go through a lot at the beginning
yeah.
of the season. And I think that kind of made it a little bit more of a bumpy start with us. But I think we've really found it now.
Good. It appears you guys have, because especially in the last 2 to 3 weeks, it seems like I've been pretty much at every single game. You guys have really started to lock down offensively, and especially to start the game. The first five batters in your guys' lineup are all conference members, you both being one of them. Sydney, you were CalPAC Pitcher of the Year with a 2.5 ERA. But you did have one blemish on your record, and I'm going to bring it up because I have to.
Oh, no.
So, last week.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't know why, how this started, but I mentioned something that I wanted to take an at-bat off you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And then I kind of didn't say anything, and you were like, you know, let's come take an at-bat. Come take an at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have no shame, expecting to probably strike out. But the most unbelievable thing happened. You can correct me if I'm wrong here, that I did, in fact, get a single.
You did?
I did. So I'm one for one in my collegiate softball career. I just want to put that on the record. But I think you were going easy on it. Everyone's been telling me you're going easy on it. So, hey, that's okay.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I was. I didn't want to embarrass you too much. So.
No, I embarrass easily. So, but obviously tomorrow you guys play La Sierra. Your team you just beat yesterday, they have to beat you guys twice. How do you plan to go into this game? Are you going to go into the game knowing that I already beat this team, or you have to just have a completely clean slate with mind over matter thinking, we got to go win this game, this first game?
I think it helps to keep in mind that we know we can beat this team, But at the same time, we've seen them come back from being behind in the last two innings of the games before. So I think we need to not take them lightly and still go all out. Yeah.
At this point in the year, I mean, you guys have been practicing for 3 months. Has practice changed at all? I mean, obviously you don't work on things that you worked on early in the season, but is it a little more laid back because everybody kind of knows the routine? Or is everybody still pretty amped up because there's a chance for a conference title and even a national title?
It really depends. Lately it's been pretty light. We have a lot more days off at this time to give everyone rest, but coach is a lot more intense as well. So sometimes practice can be pretty intense, but usually when it's intense, the practice is shorter, so that makes up for it.
Cindy, what does a practice look like for you typically? Because I know as a pitcher, it's kind of a little bit different. Do you go down to the bullpen and throw, or do you have throw against an inter-squad against some of your teammates, or how does that look for you?
Well, we have set bullpen times, like in the mornings. And at practice, I don't really do anything since I'm a PO, so I don't get to, like, take grounders. I don't get to hit. But usually when we do inter-squad, I get to pitch. And sometimes we'll have us take grounders, but usually that's about all I do.
Now, you did take some at-bats early in the season. Have you been itching towards your head coach, Wayne Storer, to try and get some at-bats here late in the season?
Sometimes I just mess around with him, but I'm not really, like, actually wanting to do it because I'd rather focus on pitching than I do hitting.
Yeah. Hitting's pretty hard.
Yeah.
So, as you guys move on and play the conference tournament, play the opening round, is it weird to not know where you're going next? Because you don't know, obviously you have to win the conference tournament, but let's look a little bit past that. Assuming you win the conference title, is it kind of it's a strange thing to me that you have to basically wait and find out where you're playing. You don't know exactly where you're playing right away. Is that strange to try to adjust? Because to me, as soon as you win the conference, if you win the conference title, you're going to be thinking, all right, who we're going to play, but you're not going to know yet. Is that strange for people who prepare, like you both, who prepare so much ahead of time that you don't quite know where you're going?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, especially because we leave 2 days after we find out.
Right.
So we kind of don't really get a chance to prepare for who we're playing for. But I think we just have to be ready to be our best. And that's what we try and do.
All right. Simpson softball will play tomorrow at Sunday at noon for the CalPAC conference title. Sydney Moorhead and Madison Wright, thank you both for joining me so much. Good luck tomorrow and the rest of the season. Coming up next, what makes a bad fan base? I got the answers for you. This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for a fabulous Mother's Day brunch May 13th at Wind River Resort and Casino. This Mother's Day brunch will be in the main ballroom from 10 to 3. Call 243-3377 for reservations. On this special occasion, there will be Pat Karch on piano, Bruce Kalin on bass, Dan Kinkle on drums, and Joe Larson on trombone. Bring your mom for fun music and food with Lady Bott and the Bluebirds at Wind River Resort and Casino. This Mother's Day, May 13th.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. I'm sure many of you wonder why the political leaders of the state of California continue to decay into immorality and absolute idiocy. They promote a corrupt worldview that has already proven itself to be destructive and self-serving. The sad thing is that people are being destroyed by blindly accepting these destructive ideas and values. Only through Jesus Christ will you be protected from these deadly values and find the real love and peace you are looking for. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Segment 3 here on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. Bryce Ritchie now joining us again. And seriously, if you haven't seen a Simpson softball game, I say this every time we talk about it, but you got to go out and watch. Tomorrow at noon, out at Simpson University, fast-paced action. And it's
a lot of scoring. They're fun to watch.
They are really fun to watch. So I really, really recommend it. It'll be a blast. It is $10 to get in because it is a conference tournament. However, it's well worth the money. So I would check it out tomorrow at noon. It'll be the last time they're playing on this field this season. And what's really impressive about that team is the fact that they have, so we talked about a little bit with the interview, that they have so many young players who can contribute. They only have three seniors, Haley Nichols, Taylor Zazueta, and Rachel Essay.
Yep.
And realistically, with so many freshmen, it's kind of the start of a new dynasty.
Yeah. Wayne's, the best part about Wayne's coaching ability is his recruiting. He is by
absolutely.
He is a fantastic recruiter, and what he's really good at is he goes out and finds young talent. He does, like, he'll go out and get juniors. You know, Haley Nichols was one of them.
Yep, transfer.
But from Shasta, but he's really good about finding girls that he can get for 4 years.
Yeah,
which sets him up great because it gives him 3 years to do it again, and so that's how he's been able to continue this longevity of success. Is that he goes out and finds talent, and then not only is it good to begin with, he has 4 years to build it up and just keep going and keep going.
And he actually, about last year when he was recruiting Sydney Moorhead and a number of these freshmen, he told me, he said, Connor, this player could go D1 if she wanted to.
Yeah.
She's got D1 talent.
Yep. She's got good stuff.
She's very good. And not only that, Tom Akernak, assistant coach, has been telling me multiple times that, hey, she's looking to improve velocity in the offseason. She's already looking to get better in the offseason. We're still in the regular season. And she's the Cal-Pac pitcher of the year.
Yep.
Could be the second coming of Paris Hallam's, in my opinion, the greatest Simpson athlete of all time. All right. What makes a bad fan base? Now, before we start this, I've been receiving some flack on Twitter for my poor takes, which is okay. I actually like that. It makes me have to be a better sportscaster. But here's what I'm saying with this. This is 100% opinionated because it's obviously, I mean, what makes a bad fan base? I'm going to give you my top two bad fan bases, and it's because of those teams that are from those cities I typically don't like. But they all have something in common. They're in a really big city.
Yep.
That's my issue, because there's two things that make fans good. Loyalty, being loud, and honestly, this is kind of sad, but you have to suffer a little bit. Like, if you haven't suffered as a fan, You don't get to appreciate that championship. Like, so what's happening with the Vegas Golden Knights right now in the NHL?
Yeah.
Their first season, their inaugural season, and they're up 3-2 on the San Jose Sharks right now, and we're the best team in the Western Conference. That shouldn't happen. As an expansion team, that's literally unheard of.
It really is.
And
but it's fantastic.
I love it. It's a great story.
Yeah.
But I'm like kind of fed up, like, because the Golden Knight fans, quote unquote, do they really deserve this? Like, in their first year?
I give the local fans some credit. If you're from Vegas, you can have it. But especially if you were a hockey fan before and all of a sudden this expansion team happened, maybe you followed a player. I'll appreciate that too. But halfway through the season, you're like, man, this team's going to be really good. I'm going to start liking them. No. You're right. There has to be, you mentioned loyalty. I think that has to do with, you have to go through a period of suffering for a while to really be considered a true fan.
And in Vegas, what is there to do other than party, gamble, and now go to an NHL game and now an NFL game? So there's four things. Obviously, there's more than that. I'm being sarcastic. But my point is, Las Vegas Golden Knights fans, or Vegas Golden Knights fans, do they really deserve a championship in their first year? They're going to be so spoiled.
Yep.
Well, just wait. You'll go through a drought. You'll go through one. You'll be like the Cubs, and you'll go 107 years or whatever it was, 108 years, without a championship. So that's what makes a good fan base. Loyalty, being loud, and suffering. Would you think you want to add anything to that?
Knowledgeable fans.
Yes, that's a good point.
I think you got to know something. You know, I go to a lot of sports games. And so sitting next to someone, there's a distinct difference between sitting next to someone, not just about the sport, but about the team. You know, just have a little bit of background information. Because you sit next to some people, and it's like it's their first time watching the game.
That's very true. In my younger days, in my less mature days, Jared gives me a funky look like I'm not very mature now.
No, you're still pretty young.
But I'm saying in my younger...
So when you were like a toddler?
Yeah.
No, just, a couple years ago.
Was still dressing you.
Yeah. In my younger days, I would go to games, Kings games, Giants games, and if a fan around me said something stupid, I would be on them the entire game. The entire game. Making fun of what they said. The problem is they don't know the game well enough. But really, should I be that surprised? I mean, a lot of people don't know every little thing about every little player and every, but my point is that we should be embracing those fans. My only problem is that if you don't know anything about the sport, you don't know anything about the players, keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
At the games. Because otherwise you're just gonna get trolled. I was that guy a couple of times. I understand, but my point, let's go to the opposite side. What makes a bad fan base? And it's pretty much the exact opposite of a good fan base. My top two, and again, these are biased, and they're opinionated.
Yeah. As they should be.
Yeah. This is an opinionated sports talk show.
It is.
And I just kind of coupled this together. It's all Los Angeles fans. Not all of them, obviously, but the typical. And it's not their fault. It's because they have so many other things. They have Hollywood. They have the beach. They have downtown. There's so many things to do in L.A. where you don't have to always be paying attention to your sporting team. If you go to Cleveland or you go to Detroit, you go to one of these cities where it's so cold you don't want to go outside because you're not going to be able to feel your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit at home and watch the game every single night because there's nothing else to do. In L.A., sure. There's beautiful weather. There's beautiful people. There's Hollywood. There's so many different things. There's more distractions. So I understand it. However, when a team is winning, the city of Los Angeles embraces that team like no other.
Yeah, unless you're the Clippers.
Unless you're the Clippers. I actually think the Clippers should move. Yes, they should.
Yeah.
They try to. But also what bugs me is that L.A. fans get to, and New York fans, kind of get to pick. I mean, I'm not saying everybody.
Too many different options.
Yes, and in Chicago, you have Cubs fans and you have the White Sox fans. You don't typically have a Cubs and a White Sox fan because that person will get destroyed by both fans bases. But in L.A., you have the Angels, you have the Dodgers. They're kind of rivals.
Padres
in San Diego. Yeah. You have the Chargers, you have the Rams now.
Yeah, Kings.
The Kings.
Clippers, Lakers.
I mean, there's so many options that you can kind of just pick a team, latch on, when they're winning. But the problem is I'm totally being hypocritical here, because when I first became a sports fan, I can tell you exactly when for each team that I follow.
All right.
I'm a Kings, 49ers, Giants, Sharks fan. Okay? I became a Kings fan, guess when? Early 2000s. I was growing up. They were good. Greatest show on court, Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, Vlade Divac. So that's why I was a fan. Now I'm still a fan, and I've suffered because we never won a title.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing with the Giants. 2008, 2009, I started really becoming a fan. They won a title in 2010, so I'm even spoiled. They've won three titles, and I've won years. The Niners, the second half of the Alex Smith era with Jim Harbaugh and then Colin Kaepernick. The Sharks have been pretty good the last 3 to 4 years. They lost in the Stanley Cup a few years ago. So I'm even biased. I'm just saying what makes it, you have to suffer. For me to fully appreciate you as a fan base, you need to suffer. Chicago Cubs fans, when they won it, I think the whole entire baseball community rejoiced for them because they've suffered so much.
Yeah.
But when you're a Vegas Knights in the first year, it kind of disgusts me. It's a great story, but I'm not going to be rooting for them because then Vegas Knights fans are just going to be, and the Raiders are going to be good. They can embrace two winning teams without having to suffer.
Yep.
It bugs me. I'm not going to lie. It bugs me.
Yeah, I agree with you. They have a lot going on. But I think attendance, I think... No,
oh, yeah, that's
one
a good point. When you're winning or when you're losing?
Anytime.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the Marlins attendance. The Marlins might have the worst fan base in all of major sports globally.
Man, what is there to do in Miami?
The beach.
The beach.
Yeah.
Nightlife. Again, beautiful people.
But how many people are there?
No, I agree. I'm just saying there's a lot, and the team is horrific. I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying it's similar to L.A.,
yeah,
where if the team's not good, people are like, I'm going to go to the beach instead. That's free.
Yeah. But also the A's. The A's had 10,000 fans at one of their games. Their minor league affiliate had 9,000.
Where's that minor league affiliate? Sacramento, baby.
Not anymore. That's the Giants.
Oh, excuse me. In Fresno. Yeah. Wow. That's brutal. All right, but here's my point. I actually think the A's are going to move to Sacramento in like 10 years. I'm just a Sacramento guy, though, so don't hear me on that. But what's impressive, though, is Major League Soccer's attendance still up.
Yep.
USL, which is technically the AAA version, which there's a team in Sacramento, the shirt that I'm wearing today of Sacramento Republic, who I work for.
Yes.
Their attendance is up. They've had a sellout 3 of the first 4 nights. A couple of those nights I couldn't feel my feet.
Well, they're also winning.
They are also winning. So I think we've concluded here in this debate, or whatever you want to call it, winning draws fans.
It does.
There's no marketing in sports like winning. If you win, people are going to show up.
It really is.
It doesn't matter how ugly it is. Remember the Giants in 2010? The season was called torture.
Yep. They went to the playoffs in the last game of the season.
They took them all the way to game 162 to beat the Padres. You remember who was on the mound that day? Jonathan Sanchez. Did you remember that?
I did.
Hit a triple.
Yeah.
Final score was 3-0. I'm telling you, I remember that. It was the Brian Wilson year.
It was.
So anyway, here's my point is that it doesn't matter what happens in the game. It doesn't matter how entertaining the game is. I mean, it does a little bit. Showtime Lakers. Lob City Clippers. The Warriors, who are unbelievably fun to watch. But if you win, people will come. It's my Field of Dreams reference. Yeah,
that was terrible.
But I'm vomiting in my stomach about these Vegas Golden Knights fans, because I'm talking about in the next year. Here's what's going to happen. And it's not only bad for the team, it's bad for the fan base in the future, because if they expect a winning year every year, guess what happens when they start losing? Fans aren't going to show up. And it's going to happen more drastically than before because they're expecting wins. Kind of like Oklahoma City fans.
Yeah, they were.
They got moved. Oh, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
James Harden.
Three of the top 8 players on the planet, all on one team. And they've kind of eroded. Their fans are still great, by the way. But also, what's there to do in Oklahoma City except for run from hurricanes?
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes, I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong?
Yeah, you said
that. Do they have hurricanes there, too?
I don't think so. They're in the middle of the
All right, so So here's what makes a bad fan base. As you mentioned, low attendance, low loyalty makes a good fan base. Obviously, loyalty and suffering. And that's the biggest one for me. All right.
I'll add one thing.
Okay, add one real quick.
Okay. You got to show up on time. There's a particular fan base that shows up late and leaves early to everything.
That was number one. Oh, I didn't say my second one was Philadelphia, by the way. They're actually really good fans, but they're really brutal to their team.
Yeah.
Even when they're losing.
I think that makes them best fans. You got to be honest.
You can be honest, but brutality, oh, man, sometimes it's scary.
Yeah.
And they got so excited. Remember when the Eagles won the championship, won the Super Bowl, and then Villanova won the championship, and then the 76ers won like six straight games? They thought they were invincible. It's like, all right, calm down.
It was great.
Relax. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
They deserve it. All right, coming up next, a brand new segment, 30-second takes. I'm going to give my take as quickly as possible on a number of sports stories. That's coming up next on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back. Final segment with Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. I'm joined by my co-host today, Bryce Ritchie, and the wonderful producer, Jared King, who I said was very lovable, and then he threw a slight jab at me last segment. So,
but luckily, he's so lovable.
He is so lovable. You just can't, no matter what.
You love to hate him.
Yeah. So, new segment. 30-second takes. Now, here's what we're going to do. It's going to be like a shot clock, except for if I go over the shot clock, there's no buzzer.
You just keep going.
I'm just going to keep going. But I'll try to be as quick as I can. 3 to 4 sentences, get my point across, and move on. I want to start with Albert Pujols, who recorded his 3,000th hit last night. Here's the point I want to make on Albert Pujols. unbelievable career, instant Hall of Famer. There was some steroid buzz, but he's got two World Series rings, three MVPs, instant Hall of Famer, and one of the all-time great guys in baseball.
Yeah, class act. He's been at the top of his game the entire time, and, you know, other than the steroid use, there was no hint of anything off the field going on. Always a great teammate. He's been great for the ball club. He's one of the guys that's, you know.
He's a guy, even if he's not on your team, you root for him.
Yeah, and he's a guy. They'll retire his number, I think.
In Anaheim?
Yeah.
And in St. Louis?
Probably.
Probably in St. Louis more than Anaheim, though.
If the Angels don't win before he retires, yeah. If they win a World Series, I think they'll retire his number.
All right, next up. Was that 30 seconds? I don't know. I can't count that fast. Are no-hitters as impressive as we think they are? So last night the Dodgers had a combined no-hitter.
A combined no-hitter? No. You had one guy who pitched, three guys who pitched three good innings. Great. That's three different great outings. And what's great about a no-hitter, a true no-hitter, is that one
longevity.
Guy had pitched nine innings, an entire game that was amazing. But six innings, there's guys all year that go and pitch six hitless innings, and then the bullpen gives up a hit in the ninth.
But my question to you is then, since no-hitters are happening more often than they have in years past, not only now, but the last 5 to 7 years, are they becoming too common to where they're not as impressive?
I don't think so. I think it's attributed to advances in technology, honestly. The pitchers can break down what they're doing wrong, and because pitching is so just fundamental, and if you can do the little things right, then you can have way more success. So guys that can see, my release is just this much off, let me fix that. Then they go and make huge changes or huge improvements the next year. I think it's still one of the best feats in sports to go an entire game without allowing the other team to produce any offense.
I 100% agree. But here's my fear with no-hitters. Is that everybody's so worried about jinxing a no-hitter. It's like, I said this last week. Baseball fans, relax. Don't worry about superstitions. Come on. They're starting to become like triple-doubles, though, in my opinion. Triple-doubles, they're happening so often now. Guys who don't play that much, they'll come in and have a triple-double just because everybody gets out of the way for a rebound.
I think it's different.
It's very different, but I'm saying it's similar in the way because they're happening more often. Are they becoming less relevant?
No, I don't agree. Triple doubles, the game has changed. The speed of basketball has picked up, so there's more offensive possessions, more shots, more rebounds, more chances for assists. But they're trying to speed up baseball. But even still, the game, it's to keep an entire professional. It'd be like not allowing someone to score in an entire quarter of basketball.
Boring.
Effective.
I guess. I wouldn't watch.
Yeah.
That was a lot longer than 30 seconds. Next one, Pelicans, New Orleans Pelicans, which, by the way, is one of the – and I actually, now that I think about it, I want to talk about this next week. The worst mascots in sports. We'll talk about that next week. Pelicans got to be up there. It's very good for New Orleans. It should be the New Orleans, should be the New Orleans Jazz. Anyway, Pelicans take game one – or take one from Golden State and still trail 2-1. Here's my quick – like I said – 30 seconds, even though we haven't stuck to that yet. The Pelicans shocked me when they beat the Trailblazers in the first series and they swept them. I didn't think they were as good as they are. They are better coached than I thought. Alvin Gentry's doing a very good job. Anthony Davis has been unbelievable. But it's been the play of their backcourt, which I said wasn't very good. I thought they were washed up. But Jrue Holiday is getting back to all-star Jrue Holiday when he was in Philadelphia. Rajon Rondo is playing defense and facilitating like he's playing on the Boston Celtics. So this team, who has all these veterans, is starting to come together and play well.
I agree. To your point last week, Jrue Holiday in the first round didn't face any competition. Damian Lillard is the worst defending point guard in the NBA. So for him to go off and have 20 points a game, not that big of a deal. But here against the Warriors, where they have great defending, that he's playing phenomenally. And for Anthony Davis, he finally, I think game three was his first game in the series where he had an Anthony Davis game, you know.
Yes.
So if he can keep that up, they're going to be scary in game four.
By the way, Golden State's going to win the NBA championship. Put your money on it now, because with Steph Curry back, they're rolling. I don't care that they lost game three to the Pelicans. The Rockets lost one at home to the Jazz.
And I think they have the same stigma with the Warriors that the Raptors do against the Cavs.
Yeah.
They want it too badly. They're going to make mistakes. Warriors are going to be better down the clutch.
And they don't have as many weapons. Yes, the Rockets have shooters.
Correct.
But a lot of those guys don't quite create their own shot.
No, they're corner three guys or wing three guys. Kickadere Gordon in the corner, Trevor Ariza. But Trevor Ariza is a two-way player. He's a great defender.
Trevor Ariza in my opinion, be the X factor in the series. If he can guard Kevin Durant and shut him down. Now that Kevin Durant is a second option, not really the second option, but everything still runs through Steph. When you see Steph come back, he makes a slight play, and it results in 3 to 4 passes, but that play was 100% created by Stephen Curry. And that's what happens when the Warriors have him back. Their offense is more relaxed. There's better passing. He creates so much for that team. Now that he's back, if he can stay healthy, I think they have a pretty easy run to a championship. When I say easy, I don't mean they're going to sweep a team. I'm just saying I think despite they can have a couple bad games, still lose. And I think it's one of those situations where...
It's just a sense of confidence, too.
Yeah, that's true. But in my opinion, like when I think about that team, they might lose a couple games, but in their minds, they're not going to lose the series or lose any of the series going forward. All right, Jazz win game 2 against the Rockets, but drop game 3. On the road in Houston, we both said it after the Jazz won game 2. It's like they're going to get blown out in game 3 because the Rockets do not want to go back home for game 5 down 3-1.
Yeah, and that's a problem when you're in the Jazz's shoes is that you have to understand winning a game like in that fashion is like the second worst outcome. Obviously, the worst outcome being losing.
Yeah.
But you blow a team out, you're going
to
light a fire in them.
PO'd, yes.
And then they're going to come back. And it's worse than a buzzer beater. It's worse than winning by, 8 or 9. But to just trounce a team is dangerous for a team like the Rockets that have such an explosive offense.
All right, last one. I know you're excited about this one. This story came out, I think, yesterday.
Yep.
Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon interviewing for the Bucks head coaching position. I love it. I think you love it.
I do. Hire her on the spot. Man, she's got the credentials. 4 years in college. Went and undrafted in the WNBA and then went on and was just lights out. Top 15 WNBA player of all time. And has been coaching under one of the greatest basketball minds for the last 4 years. And in one of the greatest sports franchises. The San Antonio Spurs run their franchise better than just about anybody.
Yeah.
So to have all of that going for her, all of that under her belt, and especially in a young team with a young superstar like Giannis, hire her.
And one thing I want to add, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of men's and women's basketball. Coaching and playing women's basketball, or coaching especially, I think it's actually more difficult because players don't have the athletic ability and they have to have more schemes and more plays to get players open because they can't rely on sheer athleticism to do so.
Yeah, you can't get 3 feet above the rim and just put the ball in.
Right.
Yeah. So
with that, she has more X's and O's knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Which therefore can translate better than the NBA for the Bucks. Now, I don't think this will happen just because I don't think the league is ready for it yet. I think we're a couple years away. I hope it does because I think it would be awesome. And it's going to happen eventually, but I don't know if this is quite
I just don't understand why they wouldn't. You take
especially with the other coaching candidates.
Yeah, and nothing against, but Luke Walton, for example, less experience. He really only had his tenure with the Warriors. And greatest team of all time. So, his job was easy. And then he went out and got a coaching gig like that.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us today. We've had a lot of good stuff. Again, Simpson softball plays tomorrow at noon at Simpson University. Appreciate you coming on the show today, Bryce.
Thanks
and I always say this every week, but it is my favorite part of the show. But I love the show. But the end, it's just a climax. It's just... Let's hit it, Jerry. Let me explain why. This song, if this doesn't make your day better, I don't know what will. This is my plan. Every show, one song that's going to make your day. Have a great day, everybody.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop.